To glorify the beauty of Krishna. So I would like to concentrate The glance of Krishna at this point, Radha and Krishna, we have the glance. So what's in the glance? What is in his glance? Or what is in their glance? What is in Krishna? Let's start with Krishna now. Actually, let's concentrate on Krishna. What is in Krishna's glance? Yes? Okay. Yes. Okay. Right, okay, so creation is in his glance, and also, as she says, maintenance. There's a verse from Bhagavatam, the 11th canto, that says if he didn't glance upon this world, then it could not go on. But he's always, not just at creation, but the Lord is continuously glancing at the creation, and also cannot be maintained. So he's maintaining the creation by his glance. And the last finishing touch, that's also third canto, in every transformation, the last finishing touch is the glance of the Lord. So what else is in, so we got creation and maintenance, what else is in the glance of Krishna? Mercy, good, mercy. Mercy is in his glance. Love is in his glance, yes. Actually, that mode of passion, when Rukmini was praying to Krishna, talking to Krishna, she was saying, I just wait for when you glance at me passionately, and that's when you want to create this world. It's an extension of Rukmini, the servant. She is one of the original Lakshmis. But in that glance, not only is there creation, but there is perfection. Okay, so we've got, what else is in the glance? Yes, number?
Opportunity for devotional service.
Yes, very good. Opportunity for devotional service. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. That is actually stated in the purport and the verse of Bhagavatam 10th canto, 13th chapter, about the glance of Krishna. So, anything else in the glance of Krishna? Yes? Beauty. Okay, supreme beauty. Yes? Is that what you wanted to say? Compassion. Yes. That's the purpose of creation, is actually compassion. So when he creates, that compassion is there in his glance. At creation, so many things are in the glance, according to Brahma Samhita. The compassion is there, and the living entities are in his glance. He impregnates Maya with us, with the jivas. So jiva is there, karma is there. Our karma goes along in his glance. And Kala, time is also there. And time is represented by Lord Shiva, who carries his sons to Durga Devi and consorts with her. So, one more thing you might be surprised to hear about Krishna's glance is that, yes? Prashadam? Yes, somebody said mercy. If that's what you mean. Yes, mercy, yeah. Well, one more thing is in his glance, and that is destruction. Did you know that? Where is the example of where, by his glance, we could see destruction? That is at the battlefield of Kurukshetra. Bhishmadeva was remembering when he saw Krishna in the battlefield. But there's a verse in the first canto, 9th chapter, that in obedience to the command of his friend, Lord Krishna entered the arena of battlefield of Kurukshetra between the soldiers of Arjuna and Duryodhana, while there he shortened the lifespans of the opposite party by his merciful voice. So when Krishna glanced on the opposite party, he shortened the lives. So that destruction was there. And that was done simply by looking at the enemy, Vishuddhaya said. So creation, maintenance, and destruction, all three, we will find in the glance of Krishna. Now, anything else in the glance of Krishna? Besides creation, maintenance, instruction, and, yes? Playfulness, okay, that's in Braj. Playfulness, exactly. Yes. Very good, protection and well-being. So, Nanda, what did you say about the glance?
The opportunity for devotion.
Right. So now these two combine, the opportunity for devotional service and the protection that is described in one verse, 10th chapter, verse 50. So I'll read about that. I'll sing that now. So this was Lord Brahma when he, after he saw the covered boys and calves, he was seeing all the covered boys and calves turn into Vishnu forms. And those Vishnu forms were smiling at him. They were all smiling and glancing. So, by the cyclone glances, the mode of passion, not our mode of passion, but passion was there. And what did this passion create? Not what the passion of this world creates, material desires. But that passion, when the Lord glances at you in his eyes, he creates desires for devotional service in your heart. So if you can catch his glance, then you will get desires for devotional service. That's from the glance. And then the eyes, from the smile. The smile of Krishna is protection. So when you see him smiling at you, he's protecting your desires for devotional service. So in the glance there's like passion, and in the smile there's maintenance. So when the deity smiles at you, he's protecting your desires for devotional service. When the deity, when Krishna glances at you, he's creating desires. So this is from the 10th canto. And this type of mode of passion means affection. It's not the passion of this world, but it is affection. In this world, when we have passion, it is based on love. In that world, in Krishna's world, it is love. So he creates desires for devotional service. Now I need a couple of more verses from the 3rd canto, 25th chapter, about the deities. Like the Pilate. Oh, my mother, my devotees always see the smiling face of my form, with eyes of the rising morning sun. They like to see my various transcendental forms, which are all benevolent. They also talk favorably with me. So Prabhupada says in the purport, devotees express their minds before the deity, and in many instances, the deity also gives answers. So we will be doing some exercises today where we will be expressing our minds before the deities. And Prabhupada says sometimes the Lord informs the devotee through dreams. These exchanges of feelings between the deity and the devotee are not understandable by atheists, but actually the devotee enjoys them. So then one more verse. Tadarshan. Tadarshaniya Vayavadapara Vilasahasekshtavanasukha Vitakmanikapadashtabhakti Anikshatamekatimumbindhi. Upon seeing the charming forms of the Lord smiling and attractive and hearing his very pleasing words, pure devotee almost loses all of his consciousness. His senses are freed from all other negations, and he becomes absorbed to devotional service. Thus, in spite of his unwillingness, he attains liberation without separate endeavor. So Sri Prabhupada says, even the third class devotees are liberated souls. How? Although they don't have knowledge simply by seeing the beautiful decoration of the deity in the temple, the devotee is absorbed with all of him and loses all other consciousness. So Prabhupada says, even the third class devotee, if he just offers obeisances with great devotion, thinks of the Lord, sees him in the temple, and brings flowers and fruits to offer, he becomes imperceptibly liberated. So that's why I asked you to bring something to the deity, so you could become imperceptibly liberated. And it's a good practice, every time you come, to bring something for the deity. And then you can develop a relationship with the deities a little more. So our first exercise, it will be something that we used to do in the early days when I first joined in 1970 in Boston Temple. I don't know if this is a practice in all the temples, but in the early days, once a week, each devotee would go up in front of the deities and report what service he had done that week for the deities, and exchange, you know, tell them if he had a problem or anything, and offer prayers to the deities. So we won't do that one by one, but we will express our minds before the deities. Now, has everybody given their gift to the deities? If not, you can offer your gift now. Those who came late can go and offer their gifts now so that the deities have their presence. Please follow us together. Mango, very, very nice. Mango season. Thank you. Wonderful. I see the dark jar here. You can put the butter in the fridge. The butter in the cake. Very, oh, everybody brought today. Very nice. Thank you. So now I would like you to, you can write down, or you can think in your mind this, what is here on this paper, an appreciation of the deities. One or two words or sentences of how you appreciate them. Glorification of these beautiful Radhe Shyam. Just very short, a few words. And then, after you glorify them and appreciate them, how beautifully they're dressed today, and how you like, how you appreciate the flowers and the silent glance, whatever you appreciate about them, then you can offer a prayer expressing your heart's desire to them, what you would like to be fulfilled. And so do that for 3 minutes. Now, before we offer our prayers, I would just like to read something from Satchinanda Swami about prayer to the deity. He spoke this on our last retreat in the Dongan. And whenever I go to the retreats and I hear the expressions, I write it in poetry form. So it will be in the form of a poem, not rhyme, but a poem. So Satchinanda Swami says, first concentrate, then let flow. And let go with childlike innocence in the presence of the Lord. The heart must connect to your words. Let your heart follow your words. Let there be no separation. Make a prayer when something happens. Open your heart to the Lord and pour it out like water. Speak to the Lord like a friend or a teacher. Learn the simple art of conversing with the Lord. While chanting, think of a person who's in your chant. Pray like you've come back from the dead. Step out of the context of this world and pray on the spiritual platform, the platform of the soul. When you pray, keep your eyes low and your heart high. Taking the position of a sleeper, we sleep our heart hoping for mercy. Before sleeping, think of Radha and Krishna in the core of your heart and pray to them, and you will have a guiding light, being bathed in the light of their clemens. Inhale, Ra, exhale, Baha, Ra, Baha. Single out the devotional voice from the multitude of voices in your heart. How to strengthen the devotional voice? Reaching the Bhagavatam. The Lord becomes active in the heart by hearing Bhagavatam. You will understand the constitutional nature. Your devotional voice will rise like a lion. Imagine going through your mind in a glass boat. What will you see? Don't be deceived. This voice is there, the devotional voice, perfect and recovered. If you see yourself in the pure naked form, it will be wonderful. So now I would like you all to stand up wherever you are and offer your prayer, face the deities, and offer your prayer that you just wrote and your heart's desire. And after you finish your prayer, you may offer your obeisances and sit down. won't write a whole essay because we have a lot of exercise this time. You can finish it next time you come. Okay, thank you. So now our next exercise will be dealing with some problem or crisis we face in our life, an obstacle to our devotional service. And to get us in the mood, I would like to read a little bit from one story from the Mayapur Mission Day. Now, I know Prabhupada was here before me. In fact, all over Europe he was before me. I was following his footsteps all over Europe, and it seems I'm following his footsteps here also. So, if you know this, if you don't know this story, raise your hand. This is the one about I want my eyes back. Anybody don't know? 1, 2, 3. Okay, anyway, I'll follow you to this family, so. So this is one devotee whom I know very well. I met her in Mayapur. On a warm December morning, around 11 o'clock a.m., as I sought the association of the magnificent Lord and prayed to his two most devoted Kulab, I found myself involved in one of his temple leelas. This is Lord Vishnu, much to my astonishment. After offering my obeisances to the captivated Kulab, I prayed, my dear Prahlad, who are expert in receiving all kinds of blessings from Lord Vishnudev, please ask your Lord to bless this poor soul with destruction of everything that stands in the way of her devotional service. Show me the way to real happiness. Then, as I stood meditating on the Lord's beauty and mercy, I heard a very sweet, deep voice. I want my eyes back. At first, I ignored it and kept my mind in the Lord of prayer. But the voice spoke a second time. I want my eyes back. Attempting again to disregard this clear message raised a burning and almost a painful sensation in my heart. I was dumbfounded. What was I to do? Then the voice continued, go to the pujari. Okay, I thought, I have nothing to lose. If the pujaris think I'm crazy, I'll let most lose a bit of my false ego. Praying to the Lord to give me the strength to carry out his order, I paid my obeisances and almost breathlessly headed for the pujari rooms. Here I found Janani Vas Prabhu Vihushan at Bhagavatam. The atmosphere in the room was extremely serene and otherworldly. I stood there for several minutes and waited for him to notice me. Then after I told him what happened, he asked me to go see his twin brother from Pujari Prabhu. Somehow, I felt I didn't have to do more at this point. The following day, as I again approached the magnificent form of Lord Vishnudev, my mind buzzed with doubt. What if that voice was just my mind demanding the healing of my eyesight, which has been very poor and painful for the past 6 weeks? Thinking in this way, I prayed for an answer. The voice spoke to me again, this time with a more serious and firm tone. You will get your eyes back when I get mine. His form, all his inmates, a soft light, and my heart felt peaceful and warm. I felt overwhelmed with unusual confidence, as if my head were touching the sky. The next morning at 2:20 a.m., I woke up fully refreshed and wide awake. It was unusually early for me, as I usually get up around 6 o'clock. A soft voice urged me to rise, bathe, and attend Mangalarti, which I did. After the ceremony was over, the same voice urged me to follow Pankajendri Prabhu from Lord Vishnudev's altar into the Pujari room. I felt very embarrassed and had tears in my eyes. I also felt a kind of unwillingness in my heart to reveal my mind to him. As he was preparing the articles for Lord's ownership, I started to talk to him. And the younger girl listened attentively to my story. Then, without saying anything, he smiled and gave me Mama Sweets from where the children's play. The following morning, when my daughter returned from the temple, she was shouting, "Mommy, they changed the shade in his eyes. He has beautiful red eyes now." And, as the sweet voice had promised, my eyesight was miraculously cured within 3 days. All glories to merciful Lord Yashinde in Morocco. So originally Lord Yashinde had these red eyes, but someone came and donated some precious yellow stones, so they changed the eyes, reluctantly. But they were happy, they felt happy with each other, and the Lord revealed who had his original eyesight. So this is just one of so many stories of the deity that Yashinde is in Morocco, reciprocating with the devotees. So our next exercise, I would like you to write down or think of a challenge or obstacle which you face in your devotional service. You can write it down or you can just think of it. I'm sure most of us are not free from obstacles. We do have some problems or challenges in our lives. If you don't have, then don't worry about it. Then you must be in the wrong world or something. Or else you're in the spiritual world, that's quite good. You are in the spiritual world. So think of that. And then, again, we will stand up and report to the deities what the problem is. And then I will tell you what to do after that, while you are still standing up. So is everybody, when you're ready, you can just stand up and reveal your mind to the deities. What is your obstacle, your challenge? And devotional service. We will not fall asleep today. So after reporting your problem, imagine that you are standing in the place of the deity and what would he say to you in response to your revealing your mind? What is he going to tell you? It's not very simple, so it will probably try to hear what he would say in response to your challenge. And when we're finishing, we offer this as a sense of giving and thanks. Story from my book. This happened when I was there in 2005. There was one little girl, 8 years old. Is anybody here 8 years old, any of our children? Stand up so we can see. How old is 8? Well, he is 8 years old. And so we can imagine the size of this little girl. Her name is Revati Sundari. She is the granddaughter of Rich Chandra Mataji. So I was there when this happened. She was playing in the Grihastha park in the playhouse. There was one thatched roof. It was not thatched, but it had just some mat on top, like a thatched, someone called this, chatai, I know, but I don't know if you say in English, like a mat. It's like woven with, and it was, it had rotten rotten, so she was on top of this mat, and she fell through. It was old, and she fell on her head in this playground. And she was in shock for an hour, shaking and crying, and she couldn't speak. and she had concussions, so we took her to a homeopathic doctor who treated her and said she should go for a scan. So after 3 days, she woke up in the night vomiting black blood. And they rushed her to Calcutta, and there was clear fluid coming out from her nose and then violent nosebleeds. So they took her to the top neurologist, and they had a CT scan, and they sent her to a neurosurgeon. And they found out that the clear fluid from her nose was the brain fluid coming out from her brain. And there's a fracture in the floor of her brain through which the brain fluid was escaping, and her brain was swollen and blood was pooling there in her brain, causing pressure. She had extreme pain in her head, which was unabated since the accident. So the doctors worked on her for a couple of days, but her eyes became completely red, and she was just like a limp rag. So finally the doctor said, okay, tomorrow early we'll do a special scan and showing all the sections of her brain, and then probably operate to repair the damage. And we'll tell you our decision at 9 o'clock tomorrow. And so Lashchandra Mataji, she phoned Padma Jangri Prabhu and explained and asked, please pray to Lord Vishnu. So he immediately said, okay, I'll do a full puja between 5 and 7 a.m., complete with Abhishek and everything. So this is the time of the special scan. The next morning, when she met the doctors, they were looking amazed and said, the new scan showed the injuries were miraculously almost healed. And all the symptoms like pain, violent, nosebleed, brain fluid, leakage, vomiting, had abruptly stopped. When I went to see Revati, she was sitting up in bed looking bright-eyed and fresh, and her eyes were fully white. Thank you, Lady Shiva. So what did Revati, the little girl, say to her after this? Grandma, next time something happens to me, please don't waste time with the doctors. Just stay straight for Lord Shiva. And so this is our merciful Lord in Mayapur. If you have any problems, health problems, any challenges, He will immediately help you. He will help you with that. So, another aspect of our relationship with Krishna is experienced by Lord Brahma. So, maybe if you just take off the first of these pages and leave the second of the pages intact. After seeing, just take off the top one and the second one should stay. That will be our next exercise. Thank you. Okay? So Lord Brahma, after seeing Lord Krishna's cats and categories, he felt very embarrassed and ashamed, and he begged forgiveness from the Lord. He was listing all the reasons why he should be forgiven. He said, first of all, I'm an incarnation of passion. I've been involved with passionate things because I'm the creator. So you should forgive me because, I have this problem with that association with all these conditioned souls. First reason. Second reason, I'm covered with ignorance. Everybody in this world is covered, including Lord Brahma. And the third reason why you should forgive me is because I'm very insignificant. And the fourth reason is that you're my father. And fathers don't take the offenses of their sons very seriously. And also, Lord Brahma said, you are my mother. Now, how is Krishna our mother? You can tell me. This is a very... You have an answer? Oh, there's a song. Is it? Maybe I don't know that song. Oh, Krishna Pita, Krishna Mata, Krishna Manakam. Yes. But why? Yeah? Lotus, yeah. Without Lotus, you won't be in that sense. How is Krishna our mother? Okay, he's Lord Brahma's mother, but he's our mother as well. That's right. Oh, you might know, because you were hearing the lectures. Yes, in the back. Right. Okay, so that's father. Okay, he's a source. Okay. Is that efficient? Yes? Yes? Right. Yes. Right, he doesn't take offense, just like the mother doesn't take offense. So actually in Krishna Leela, in the Leela where Yashoda opened her mouth and opened Krishna's mouth and she saw the universal form in his mouth, the acharyas say she was looking in his mouth through his belly. Actually the whole universe, everything is in his belly. And in that sense, he is our mother, because we're in his belly. All of us are in his belly, and who's in the belly is the child in the mother's womb. And so that's why Lord Brahma said, you are my mother. That's what Acharya said, because we are all in his belly. Even at this moment, we are in his belly. So he is our mother as well, as well as our father. So, Lord Brahma, first he praised the Lord, then he stated the offense he had made. What was his offense? He interrupted Krishna's loving pastimes with his friends. And finally, he begged forgiveness. So Prabhupada describes the mood of repentance as a symptom that Maya is losing its grip on us. If we have this feeling of repentance. This is in the first canto, third chapter, verse 34 in the purport, where his talk to Prabhupada talks about how he can transform the material energy into spiritual by his will. And the external energy subsides by the will of the Lord in terms of repentance and kindness. And the very same energy then acts to help us make progress in the path of self-realization. So, in Nectar Devotion, there are three kinds of prayers in chapter 9. Some part of Napika, very faithful offering prayers, that was our first exercise. Now this exercise we're going to do is the second type of prayer, Danya Uvodika, humbly submitting myself. The third type is all of Samadhi, desiring some perfection state, so that's later on when we become more advanced. Now we want to get into the mood of Shikshastri. Nectar Devotion says how to do this. In the Padma-purana, there is a statement about submission and humbleness. It is stated there by the Lord, there is no sinful living entity who is more of a sinner than myself, nor is there a greater offender than myself. I'm so greatly sinful and offensive that when I come to confess my sinful activities before you, I am ashamed. This is a natural position for the devotee. As far as the conditioned soul is concerned, there is no wonder he has some sinful activities in his past life, and this should be able to be confessed before the Lord. As soon as this is done, the Lord excuses the sincere devotee. That does not mean one should take advantage of the Lord's precious mercy and expect to be excused over and over again while he commits the same sinful activities. Such mentality is only for shameless persons. So Prabhupada says, we should admit and confess before the Lord our sinful activities. So now, our next exercise will be, try to remember from the beginning of your life what mistakes you made that you would like to be forgiven for. What things you did in your life that you would like to be forgiven for. Now, I mean, you don't have to list everything. Try to make a summary of now, the children in the group, Lisa, don't have a problem. Maybe they forgot to, maybe they got up late one day or something like that. But, or maybe they forgot to chant one of their rounds. I don't know what it would be for them. There is no simple life for them. Perhaps you did do something that you would like to beg forgiveness for from the Lord. Yes? Yes, right. So that's one. That's one thing. I mean, there may be other things. So, this is going to be a confidential exercise. I'm not going to share with anyone. It won't be very interesting for us. Or maybe it will be very interesting, but we're not going to share about this. This is our own private personal list between us and the Lord. So I just want you to think about it. And when you do this, you feel a great sense of relief. You may say, oh, do you remember when I did that? And I even did that. Because we always say to ourselves, I'm so fallen. Well, how fallen are you, Prabhu? I mean, what do you mean I'm so fallen? What did you do, actually? So we're not going to ask you to tell us, but we're likely to tell Krishna. what you did, and then you will have a very clean heart. And I found that by doing this exercise, you don't repeat the same mistakes again. Maybe you got angry at somebody, you lost your temper, or something like that. Maybe you didn't. Maybe many of you are very pure, and you didn't do things like that. So take a minute to just think, and you will practice praying your words of prayer. So humbly simultaneously before the Lord. So when you're ready, please stand up and tell Krishna and then offer your obeisances and sit down to join yourself. Okay, summarize the rest. At this point, we can take questions, and after the duty close, or soon we will do our last exercise, which doesn't require us to do anything for the duty. Does anybody have any questions or comments? What prevents us from accepting that Krishna does forgive us? What is the shadow that prevents us from accepting that it is a fact? I saw a sign on the road going out of Elijah on the highway. God is not angry with you, no matter what. I thought that was an interesting sign. Yes. It is his desire that we go back to him as soon as possible. And so he does forgive, but there is a condition to it. And that condition is that we do not do it again. That's the only condition. There's only the one condition. Even Christ said that, do not sin again. Okay, you're forgiven, you sin, but don't sin again. So that was Prabhupada's condition, that you're forgiven, but don't sin again. Of course, many of us did sin again. After Prabhupada, and he forgave us. He forgave many of our brothers and our sisters. He took us back, and generally, he told Giriraj Maharaj, okay, three times, if you do it, then you're forgiven, but not more. But don't do it more than three times. He gave us the three times. and then you're out. Go to sea. And then your engineer says, Papa, is that true? It's 3 times. No, I forget. And there was this one example of when Dwight Iyer in India, he was a guy who called Chaitra Guru. So he was making life members and he was keeping the money. And so the devotees were complaining, Prabhupada, he's keeping the money, he's just making life members. And maybe this time, and Prabhupada said, okay, anyway, don't worry, it's just money, we'll talk to him and try to rectify him. But then Tamal came to Prabhupada and said, now it's gone too far. He's sitting on the beach with one of these bogey yogis, and he's learning how to take a coin and put it in one ear and take it out from the other. Now this is the limit. And Prabhupada said, don't you know about Nityananda's mercy? And Tamal said, no, I don't. Prabhupada said, it's unlimited. It's unlimited. And so it doesn't mean, again, as Prabhupada says in that their devotion, don't take advantage of the Lord's Prabhupada's mercy and expect to be excused over and over again. That's not acceptable. No. So gratitude, how to change from the mentality of it's not punishment, but it's mercy. Seeing it as coming from someone who loves you. The only answer that I have realized is gratitude, that you say thank you. Thank you for giving me this mercy. And even before the mercy comes, you find things to say thank you for the whole day. And if you're always saying thank you, then you'll see the mercy. I know one of my god sisters, she fell and she broke her 2 wrists and she also hurt her back and she was in great pain, going to the hospital. Thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna. That's sweet. But, yes, right. In fact, we got really close. And she did pray for calamities and they're coming, really. But that's it. That's the only way to appreciate the mercy is to say thank you. As I understand. Does anybody have any other understanding on that? Unless you know. Yeah, that's what Radhanaswami says too. When you ask Vajrayana or Radhanaswami, how are you? He said, better than I deserve. So, that is the mentality. Get in the habit of saying thank you to Krishna. And at night you make a whole list of thank you and go in front of your deities and tell them thank you, thank you, thank you. And then it will change. That's the beginning. Gratitude is the beginning of the change. And it's one of the ways to get out of depression. It's the best way to get out of depression is to be grateful. Grateful for the mercy. Any other questions or comments before we go on to the next part? Okay. So now, we've had so much association with our Radha Shyam, and this is what I've taught you today. You can do any time. You can always stand in front of them and you hear your mind. And glorify them and speak words of appreciation. In fact, maybe we could do a little something on that line before the close. Now we can see how beautifully they're dressed today. And anybody tell us something that they appreciate today about the deities? Just looking at them now, what do you appreciate? Yes? Okay, Radharani's thing coming over her head. Over her hair, okay? Anybody else have something to appreciate? Yes? Mama? Okay, the lavender ties in with the oriental back foot. The touches of lavender, yes? His flute. Flute or fruit? Oh, he has... I can't speak from here. Okay, is flute or fruit? Flute, yes, two. Two of them. One on his hip, two. Two flutes, yes. The richness of the yellow color. Okay, yes, somebody over here has a comment on the deities. Something you appreciate, yes? What's on his nose? Something, okay. Pearl on his nose. Alright. Anything else you can appreciate today about our beautiful deities? Radharani has a little bird on her wrist. Wow, I never saw that before. A bird, yes?
I love to see
Krishna Balaram. You like to see Krishna Balaram? Okay, you're glad they're here. Lakshmana, did you have something? Vipo Bani Four. Okay. Yes. The dress? Turban. Here, okay, I'm observing. Okay, well, that's like alternating silver and lavender. Like stylish. Yes? Her braid. Oh, yes. Look at her braid and it's decorated with. What is in her braid? I can't see from here. Jewels. Jewels in her braid. Mm-hmm. Yes?
I like the way she
looks at her dress. Very tight.
Yeah.
Very strong.
Okay,
yes, they look very strong.
Softness,
you know,
the
lavender
is strong and soft at the same time.
Yes, they conquer with beauty, actually. Very tight conquer with their beauty. That is the weapon of Lord Chaitanya. One of his weapons is his beauty. He just said in scriptures. And so he can conquer people just with his beauty. Anything else you appreciate today? Nothing else. Okay, so we're very fortunate to have darshan. I think very soon they close the doors. I think it's at like 6 or something around there. Okay.
6? 6.
Okay. Do you have something on your head here that you were, no, that you're sorry, yes? Krishna's expression. Okay. He really wants us to become absorbed. Or close the seat. Okay. So now our next exercise is going to be with another deity that we can associate with at any time, anywhere. And it is the deity of our mind. For this exercise, you'll need to have your japa beads ready soon. And I'll just say a verse to describe a little bit about what we're going to be doing. This verse is from 10th Canto, 12th chapter, verse 39. So good, said I'm going to put him on the right path. When I'm a leader, I'm going to talk with you. Say, I'm going to take my secret of good to me. He does to my own path, but I'm going to do it. Even only once, or even by force, one brings the form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead into one's mind, one can attain the supreme salvation by the mercy of Krishna. as it of Asher. What then is to be said of those in whose hearts the supreme personality of Godhead enters when he appears as an incarnation? Are those who always think of the lotus feet of the Lord, who is the source of transcendental bliss for all the entities, and by whom all illusion is completely removed? So that's one verse. Another one. Oh my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing. Thus their hearts become cleansed and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees. You manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So we would all like to meet Krishna, the deity of our mind, actually while we're chanting the holy name. One of the realizations that we will have later on when we chant is to always see the form of the Lord when we chant, as Nandamuni does. But for now, we will just be meditating on the form of the deity of the Lord. George Harrison, of the George, says at the beginning of Krishna book, in his foreword, everybody is looking for Krishna. Some don't realize they are. Krishna is God, the source of all that exists, the cause of all that is, was, or ever will be. As God is unlimited, he has many names. By serving God through each thought, word, and deed, by chanting his holy names, the devotee quickly develops God consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna. So I request you take advantage of this book, Krishna, and enter into its understanding. I also request you make an appointment to meet your God now through the self-liberating process of yoga, union, and give peace a chance. All you need is love, Krishna, Hari Bol, George Yosef. So, two words from George. He was explaining the importance of meeting Krishna. When I was a little devotee, they told me, you will be able to meet God face to face. I said, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to meet him face to face and see him just like we're sitting here. So that was one of my goals. Bhaktivinoda Thakur also tells us how to meet Krishna, how to see Krishna in the chanting of the holy name. If you should chant Krishna, worship Krishna, and teach others of Krishna. Krishna is our mother, Krishna is our father, and Krishna is our life. So, when you chant the holy name, you can have these relationships with Krishna as our mother, our father, and friend. In our life, as Prabhupada said, we should chant like a child crying for its mother. So when we chant in here with our potential, Krishna will come to be with us. And when we chant Hare Krishna nicely, Krishna also comes and says, please accept me. I'm coming here for you. All you have to do is chant, and I'm yours. So I'd like to read one last realization. This is from a devotee called Parthasarathi Das. Many of you might have heard of him. He was a soldier on the battlefield at Iraq. But he kept his japa mala. He was chanting Hare Krishna. So this is his japa realization on one day. Now he's out of the army, but he's still in the battlefield distributing books in America, the battlefield of America. Battlefield Kali Yuga, and he's doing book distribution. Because he understood that when he was in Iraq, that he was feeling very sad whenever he could not save someone, that someone could hear about Krishna before he died. So now he wants to help as many people as possible. So here are his words. Just checking in. Slow day here. We shot some weapons. I just shared a japa on the hill with Krishna Balaram, my shields. It was nice to see the sun come up. For a minute, Krishna Balaram, we're floating. And I felt the holy name enter my heart to pick up the enlightenment. For that split second, I felt that Srila Prabhupada was sitting next to me and helping me chant the holy name. Apara means away, Radha means Radharani. So Aparadha means away from Radha. Realizing this, my heart became sad. But all these years I had run away from her mercy, from her loving affection. So sad. Then, instantly, that world closed with a weapon firing. I wish it would have gone away. Your servant, Heart Sacrifice. So that is his job in meditation. You don't have to worry about the weapons firing. You're in a remote corner of the world. Prabhupada used to call Ginza. It's remote corner of the world. No worries about that. But we do have our own battles. So now I would like you to seat yourself very comfortably so that you can sit for some time, at least 10 minutes. And take your japa beads in your hand. Be ready to chant. We're going to do a very personal exercise. With this practice, will make your chanting more personal and help you realize Krishna's ever-loving presence within your heart. So now you may close your eyes and think of your favorite deity. Just picture in your mind's eye your favorite deity, how he's dressed, what garments he's wearing. Now imagine your favorite deity of Krishna has expanded from your heart to sit right in front of you. He is there looking at you with his gentle, sweet smile and moist, compassion-ready eyes. Krishna is observing your expression, hearing your vibration, receiving your attitude, and feeling the pulse of your heart. Krishna is listening very attentively to your chanting. So you may have, it may be Krishna, Radha and Krishna, it may be Gaurantai, it may be your favorite deities, and they know the movements of your mind. So we're chanting for them. Chant very seriously and sincerely, with full faith and feeling. Your only desire is to make them happy by your chanting. Your goal is to please Krishna, Radha Krishna, Krishna Balaram, Holy Path. Now, begin to chant while keeping a picture of your favorite deity sitting in front of you, listening to you. Your only goal is to please them by your chanting. Listen. that day, Krishna is coming back in your heart, and he will stay there with you. The next time you chant, you can also have him come and listen to you anytime. When you open your eyes, and this is another way to make your chanting take a more person. To chant for your favorite teacher. Thank you. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share from this scripture set that we just did on the chanting of the teacher? Yes, yes, please. Okay, so Virjan in Vrindavan asks you a question. When you think of Krishna, who do you think of? Yes, so you realize it was your favorite deity. Mm-hmm. That's Krishna. That's who we know. That's who we know. Yes. Okay, that's who, who comes in my dreams, is my favorite deities. Or even deities I don't know sometimes, but... Yes? Okay, yes. Okay, so nice. You started with Krishna Balaram now, and then you went to Vrindavan and saw Krishna Balaram. So tell them to come. Tell them to. But they should make a trip over here. This is also Ramamurti. New Ramamurti. Anybody else have something they'd like to share? Thank you for that. Anybody else? Yes. Thank you for that. Okay. Well, yeah, I know some devotees said that they were telling me first it was Gauritai and then it changed to Radha Krishna, and that's the process, of course. Gauritai leads us to Radha Krishna. So who are your favorite deities? Radhishyam and Vrindavan. Right. Here is Gaurita. Oh, somebody has to meditate. We just meditate on Gaurita. That's wonderful. I wish some of we had that problem. Yes. Mental slides, both different deities. Mm-hmm. So you're reconnected with all the deities you met in your life. That's nice. And they, or they reconnected with you. Okay, Mahalai? Yeah, similar. Yeah. Just to chant. Mm-hmm. We did it longer. If I had let it go for another 15 minutes, I'm sure we would have had a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Okay, Krishna's always there listening and thinking he's not there listening. But he's listening to us chant, it's his name. Yes. It's not easy to do it every time. But there, it was very conducive. Yes, at the retreat, it's very conducive. Yes. Your book, when you hear your name, you see where it's coming from. We're following him, and he's looking. Who's telling me? Yes. Anything else on that, too? Thank you, sir. Yes, you can try it in your own. Yes? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So the fact that Krishna is listening helped you to make sure you were pronouncing every word. It made you more attentive to how you were pronouncing and how you were chanting. Yes, if Krishna is actually sitting and listening in front of you, then how would he chant? And he is. You just don't see him. Yes. Okay. He's actually sitting and listening. Was changed. There's some butter in there you want to get the fridge. Oh, he took it? Okay. Okay, so anything else? Yes, I'll put it.
What is the name of the most of your dreams of micro anxiety dreams about what's
confused? Yeah, I've had that before. What does it mean when you have dreams at night? Anxiety dreams about dressing the beans. It means you're very fortunate, son. Is that very, if that is your only anxiety, then then you are very fortunate. Yes. If you are full-time pujari, then that anxiety is there in the day as well, that if I don't feed Krishna, he'll starve. In Calcutta, it was a reality that it was very hard to feed Krishna there. We were cooking on big coal fires, so it was constant anxiety there. Lights would go out, there's no water, there's no lights. And so it was like, you know, you have a small, it's like having a small child and there's constant anxiety about the child. And so it's a sign that you're thinking of Krishna more than yourself. That's very nice. Sometimes it's a sign, like in my case, because I have left that service for many years, like the temple deities, I have my own deities. But it's because I'm not with them, I'm not doing that full-time service. So then that anxiety sometimes comes. So I'm not doing that service anymore, really. As I used to do full-time service. And so I feel like, well, I don't know how to do it anymore, I've lost it. But Krishna still needs me to do it. And then I just somehow I try. And so many mistakes. Yeah?
So do you see that when
you're trying to serve
the Lord
without
no water, no electricity? Do you see that as more mercy?
How do I see no water? That's a way of life in India. I mean, in Calcutta it was. So it wasn't a big problem. Once you get used to it, and then figure out ways to get water, electricity, burn candles. You always have to have candles burning. Yeah, it's just, okay, so it's just another thing on my list today, you know. I mean, it's always there, actually. Like the how, and then I would figure out ways, because the water in Calcutta would run into this big bathtub. And if the tap was always on, and the bathtub would only always be like this much water. So one time I lived very close to the bathroom, it was my room, so I got a big huge barrel and I got a pipe and I attached it to the tap and it would come into my room. When people were out collecting it, I was just like, things like that. But anyway, I wasn't in too much anxiety. But that anxiety is always there, which When you have a child, you have anxiety. But when you have babies, you have the same anxiety. How to protect them, how to feed them, how to make sure that they have everything they need. The same thing. But when it's for Krishna, oh, Krishna's children, it's also because our children are special. And so it's the same. With Krishna's children, it's 24 hours. Because I was doing 20 hours, I got to sleep 4 hours in Calcutta. It's the same thing as far as I'm concerned. I had a child, I had a son, and I had a baby, so it's like the same idea. Okay, anything else on this topic? No? Okay, this up. On Thursday, 7 o'clock, is our last class. It will be on entering Vrindavan Dham. We should bring your jackal beads again and pay for your pay. Okay. I'm going to share that.